Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 4th, 2018, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 164, chapter 11, A Vision for You. We're on the second paragraph, the fourth sentence in that paragraph, which begins with "Ask Him in your morning meditation," and we'll be reading through two sentences ending with "Own house is in order," and comments will be on those two specific sentences. Today's readers are Lisa J.R. for the 12 steps, Chrissy Jane K. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kathy Jo P., Susan H., and John K. The share ID for Sunday, December 2nd, the double whammy, is 12,251. That's 12251. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,253. 12253. Our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lisa J.R. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, Maryland. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take a personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for His knowledge, for His will for us, and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me serve, Pat.
And thank you, Lisa J.R. And Chrissy Jane K., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
The 12 traditions. This is Chrissy Jane, compulsive overeater, depressive, and hoarder. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, our group purpose. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never be endorsed, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy Jane. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 164, chapter 11, A Vision for You, the second paragraph, starting with the fourth sentence, ask him in your morning meditation. We'll be reading through two sentences, ending with own house is in order, and we'll be commenting on those two specific sentences. So Kathy Jo P., good morning. Could you get us started?
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Of course, today, I feel like my house is not in order. Literally, a half an hour ago, someone texted me a bunch of pictures of my kids using marijuana. So I am in the process of getting my house in order. And what that means is realizing a scripture just came to my mind, and it's only in God will my soul be at rest. And it's not going to come from me trying to fix everything or pretend and deny everything or try to make everybody behave or being in misery. My rest comes in God, and I can guarantee you I had literally no clue of that before I came to this program. I did two of my biggest work events this weekend, and they were really powerful. They were lighting ceremonies in memory or in honor of loved ones. And on Saturday, after one of these events, a lady came up to me and she was disturbed, and she decided that something I did that day was wrong. And immediately I maybe wanted to fix it and have her see it differently and tell people about it. And one thing I have learned in this program is that the more I talk about things, the more it gets me off kilter in resting in God. And my goal is to be connected to God. So I paused a lot this weekend. And this is all something that I did not know before. And me, every time I show up differently and do things differently, like even right now, I'm not texting my kids and going, what in the world are you doing? I'm going to pause and wait and talk to my husband and figure out what we should do as a team. And it doesn't have to be a crisis. It doesn't have to be a crazy day. I don't have to get disconnected from God because of something happening. And I'm going to stay with God today, be with God today, so that I can be as healthy as I can. And I remember when I started this process, I found out something similar to my marriage that turned my world upside down. And I remember calling a guide and saying, I'm moving to Omaha and divorcing my husband, and I'm not going to do this. And she said, as you respond to this crisis, do you want to be whole or broken? So all I know is every single day I want to be as whole as I can and stay connected to my God so that I can be of service to all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. So we're on page 164, the second paragraph, fourth sentence, ask him in your morning meditation through two sentences ending, own house is in order. And I'm going to open up the lines. Who would like to share on those two sentences?
Ginger C.
Carrie S.
Julie E. B.
Jackie H.
Who is the person
Andy.
Right after?
Wendy B.
Who is the... Okay, hold on. Who is the person right after Ginger and before Julie E.B.?
Carrie S. Yeah.
Okay, and then I had Ann D., and I think there was someone right in there with her.
B. Ann B.
Oh, Ann B.
Jackie H.
Okay, I have you, Jackie H.
Wendy B.
Okay, let's stop there. So Ginger C., Carrie S., Julie E.B., Jackie H., Ann B., and Wendy B. So go ahead, Ginger C.
Hi, good morning. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in California. So God will ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. And I'm actually sitting at our hotel looking out at this ocean and thinking of a lot of visionaries, because at the OA LA birthday, we tend to come to the beach early in the morning and we sit on the sand and we do our morning meditation together in nature. And it's just profound. And what a way to begin each and every day. And I love our precise directions on 86 too. You know, on awakening, each and every morning, we start with this meditation, this quiet period with God, inviting God in, because we lack power. And without power, I can't do another day. And what am I supposed to do on each and every day but to be of maximum service to God? God, who would you have me be? What would you have me do? And how can I serve you? How can I help you? You don't wear flesh. I do. And I have this amazing opportunity, if I'm doing this deal like I'm supposed to, like my life depends on it. Because again, I have this great ego that loves to edge God out. So I'm just so grateful we get to practice this each and every day. And as long as I keep moving a muscle and I don't rest on laurels and start coasting and going downhill, I have an amazing opportunity always, and I don't know what's around the corner. And last night we were at a comedy show watching Jay Leno, and there was a 95-year-old World War II veteran. And Jay honored that man in front of this huge crowd. And then the brother stood up next to the father and said, you know, Jay, my brother served in Vietnam, is in terrible pain today. And he would do anything to see your car collection. And Jay said, well, let's make that happen. And then I work with Vietnam veterans, and I got to give him a card that potentially could help this brother of his who's suffering terribly. So I don't know who the person is suffering, may or may not be in the food. But as long, again, as I'm fit spiritually, I have an amazing opportunity to do God's work. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. And Carrie S., you are up, followed by Julie E.B.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Carrie S. in Golden, Colorado. Gratefully part of this fellowship. Thank you, God, for a vision for you. And today I am asking that simple word, ask. I learned yesterday that there is a word in Hebrew that means prayer and work. It's one word. And so that's what I get to do is work at my conscious contact by asking to stay awake and aware and alert so I can seek and surrender to the knowledge that is not my knowledge, that is God's knowledge. And in my morning meditation, I can pray for the man who's still sick. Well, you know, who's still sick is me. Day by day, I am not cured of this illness, this dis-ease. And I'm grateful for a guide that taught me I can say the sick man's prayer for myself in the humility that is saying that prayer for myself every day so that I can be of maximum usefulness to others and that I remember that it's just one day at a time that I'm asking in my morning meditation what I can do for the man who's still sick. And in terms of my house being in order, it is just this daily design, daily design. I have a girlfriend in from out of town, and she asked me, how do you guys keep your place so clean? And I laughed, and I said, well, we don't just spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours on a weekend. We do it every day. We just take, like, 15, 20 minutes every day. And so I like to think I take more than that with my prayer. But, yeah, recovery is not about feeling better. It's about getting better at feeling, and I'm so grateful to be out of the darkness so that I can just check in with where I'm at today. So grateful to be on the lines, and with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie. And is it Julie E.B. or Julie E.R.?
I think Julie. It was me, Julie E.B. Gratefully
okay.
Recovered.
I wrote so fast I couldn't read my writing. So you're up, followed by Jackie H. Thank you, Julie.
I am here. I'm grateful to be here today, going over these couple of sentences that are life-saving for me. When I hear this each day, several times, on the vision or the recorded vision meetings, as I listen to at least both recordings, Clean House with a Family, I think of cleaning house with the family. And my morning meditation, you know, starts out with the awakening prayer. And in the awakening prayer, I ask myself to be divorced from all the motives derived from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking. Self-pity, it's just so natural to me, and it's quicksand. What are my motives where I'm just feeling like, oh, no, the whole world is against me? Dishonesty. Where am I not looking at? Look, I have the wrong priorities here, or what I said actually hurt that person. Self-seeking, the things I do to get other people to do what I want. So that's an important part of my morning meditation, the whole rest of the prayer as well. But I cannot help when I hear this clean house. I've got 3 teenagers, husband, a mom I help take care of. And so I think of the section that says there's a long road of period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling, we're sorry, won't fit the bill at all. Sit down with the family, frankly, analyze the past, being careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring. I noticed a couple when I'm home all weekend. But the chances are our actions are partially responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning, and I've added the word night, to my nightly review and meditation, our Creator shows the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And I was disturbed by my teenager's criticism of my driving yesterday. And it wasn't until we got to the group that we were in together and I was sharing and I talked about how disturbed I used to be when I was in the food, it came up in a context, and both of my kids, 18 and 15, two of my three, affirmed, like, yeah, my mom was cray-cray then. It was not good. It was not pretty. So I still have that reconstruction, and when I hear that, it's really about being clean before God, before others, during my 10th, 11th, and 12th step, and being of service to my family instead of trying to run the show. And as I learn to be patient with them, they're criticizing my driving, I think about how often am I critical of them? If I don't like their criticism, the point isn't to correct them. The point is, how do I become a less critical mother so they can see how to live differently? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And Jackie H., you're next, followed by Ann B.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you for your service. Thank you all for being here. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. So glad to be on this meeting. The answers will come. Well, I back up. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. And my own house wasn't in order for a very, very long time. I felt like I had to fix everybody else's house, and I was so busy worrying about other people's business that I failed to take care of my own business. And coming into this program and doing the steps as they are meant to be in order with a recovered sponsor, I had a spiritual awakening that has just been amazing. The word enthralled comes to my mind. That's how I'm feeling today. And so today, I get to pay attention to how my house is, and I get to pay attention to my own spiritual fitness. And I love this, ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Oh, well, you know, I get to do that every day in my morning meditation by turning over my whole life, my day, to my God. And I get to ask and offer my eyes, my ears, my thoughts, my actions to God, so that I can surely be of service to other people. I didn't used to be of service to other people. I was too busy worrying about what they could do for me, or if I was of service to them, it was what I could get out of it after I did serve them. So this is a beautiful, beautiful section here, and I get to see, how do I get to help the man who is sick? One of the ways that I get to do that is to see the very highest in them, because we're all sick. I don't think there's anybody on this planet that is not spiritually sick. And so I get to see the highest in them. I don't get to see them as a, quote, sick man. I get to see the essence, the beauty that they really are. And as we undo all of this junk, all of this, these defects that we have, then we get to shine. This is not us, the ego, but the essence, the spirit that we really possess. We're in God and God is in us. And that's what gets to shine through. And today that is what I want to shine through to me. I've wanted that since I was a little girl. And I just could not find a way to do it. I found all kinds of other ways, but not what I'm doing right now today. And that will change with time. Every day I get to learn something new from somebody. I get to learn something that's valuable, so that I can be of maximum service to God and my fellows. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Ann B., it's your turn, followed by Wendy B.
Hello, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 14 years. That my house is in order. For me, I'm a person with a mild autism spectrum disorder. And that means, you know, it's very hard for us to get in touch with our emotions. And That didn't mean I didn't eat over them, but I didn't know what they were. And one of the great gifts of program for me was to learn how to name them and to tell them to somebody else. Because I felt great shame over things, and I also, you know, I'd also been raised in a family where I think, you know, these things weren't paid attention to. I wasn't encouraged to talk about my feelings. I didn't know how to talk about my feelings. And I think it's been exceptionally helpful to me being in a group where people share their feelings and their experiences, because for me, again, as a person with a mild autism spectrum disorder, prior to program, other people were sort of statues judging me. That's the only way I could really see other people. And I've come to understand, in working the steps, it's helped me understand my own feelings and also other people's feelings. That other, and I start to see people's interior lives as well as their exterior, and I start to be able to see expressions on their face and so forth, which is partly due to being abstinent and being away from the food, you know, certain foods that I think make the autism spectrum worse. But anyway, so for me, keeping my house in order, a lot of it involves trying to identify those emotions and trying to learn how to express them calmly, not wait until I blow up, but calmly express them. And whereas my prior expectation of myself was just to be a doormat and to let and to blow in the wind of what everybody else was doing, and to so part of me keeping my house in order is becoming aware of myself. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Ann B. And if you're just coming on the line a little late and you want to know where we are on page 164, the second paragraph. We're reading the fourth and fifth sentence, starting with ask him in your morning meditation. So Wendy B., you are up, and after Wendy, I'll be taking some more names. Go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And so it says, ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each for the man who is still sick, and the answers will come if your own health is in order. So there's a verse that says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so every day I get to keep seeking and depending on God, because he has the answers hidden in him, you know, and he reveals them to me in his timing if I keep my house in order, you know, which to me means, you know, I deal with everything that's blocking me from hearing his directions and his promptings. And a recent example of that is I was prompted to share my survival story on a Facebook cult thread. And my niece and her husband, who were still in that cult, read my story, and their eyes were opened, you know, and that they really were in a cult, you know, and now they're making plans to extricate themselves. And, you know, I learned in these rooms how to share my story effectively, you know, by keeping the focus on me and my part in everything, you know, that happened, and not finger pointing and blaming others. And, you know, playing the victim, you know, God helped me to take responsibility for my errors and judgment and motive, you know, and I'm just so grateful that God can use each of us, you know, to impact the people he has placed in our lives, you know, and it's not just, you know, in vision, or it's just not this program, but it's every area of our life we get to impact, you know, his will for what he wants in other people's lives. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. And who else would like to share on these two sentences?
Gina R.
John K.
Sherry K. B.
Reggie O.
I have Gina R., John K., Sherry K. B., Reggie O. Anyone else?
Rebecca T.
Rebecca T.
Mariana D.
Mariana D.
Cindy K.
Okay, was that Cindy K?
Yes.
Okay, let's stop there. See if we can get to you, Cindy. Okay, Gina R., John K., Sherry K. B., Reggie O., Rebecca T., Mariana D., and Cindy K. So go ahead, Gina.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O., for your service. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I am a compulsive eater living in Green Valley, Arizona. The thing that really jumps out to me is if your own house is in order. I don't know why, but I'm one of those people that loves to clean. I love to clean. I love to organize. I love to get everything looking just right. And what I have discovered is that can be a really good thing, but I also, just like what this disease does with all of our natural instincts, it ends up being distorted or warped or perverted. And I would, if I could get my external world to look just a certain way, then I might have a glimmer of hope of feeling okay on the inside. And I really appreciated the previous share where she talked about being on the autism spectrum. I can remember thinking, well, gosh, you know, if I just had, you know, some sort of diagnosis or something, you know, maybe I could get some help. And while that may or may not have been okay, again, I wasn't actually seeking the solution. I was just looking for another excuse to stay stuck. When I finally was able to put down the things that were blocking me from fully hearing this message that for me is so powerful, then I was able to see what I was doing. And I'll give you an example of what it looks like now. So I am the person who, if you filled the dishwasher up and you didn't do it the way the manufacturer suggested you do it, which is like the optimal way to do it, I would go in and rearrange it. Or, well, before I did that, I would tell you didn't do it right and you need to do it over. I have been released from that kind of behavior. If I see something and it doesn't line up with how I think it needs to be, instead of trying to rearrange it or let the other person know they need to do it over, I now can go inside into my internal house. And that's where the housekeeping is today. I am getting my internal house in order. I am able to open up rooms inside of my heart that I would never share with people before. And I can do it in a way that is not judgmental toward myself or others. And I am open to the solution now. And somehow, some way, I am able to show up and be a light in a world that is despairing. And I'm so very grateful for that. And I thank you for all of you who helped me get there. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. John K., it is your turn, followed by Sherry K.B.
Thanks. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, this section, I think, is sort of encapsulating what's in all the steps, if you put them all together. It's get out of yourself. You know, get out of yourself and work with others, help others. You know, but like it says, your own house must be in order. And I think the reality is once you've gotten recovery, you want to be helping others, you know. Because I only speak for me, but nothing I've ever done, you know, to help or enrich myself has ever felt as good as when I'm helping others, you know. And I'll also say, you know, I always tell people, I think some of the best guidance I've ever gotten, it just comes from rereading that 10-step checklist, you know, were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, you know. And for me, that's a big part of it. This section talks mainly about helping others who are still suffering in the disease. I think he meant, like, go out and help. But I also believe it means helping those in program who are still suffering, you know. As Ginger said earlier, you know, I believe God works through people. And I think this is how our experiences, you know, our suffering, our missteps can actually help others. I know for me, having had a long period of relapse, I tend to gravitate to helping those who are struggling in relapse because I went through every mistake there is to be made. And I believe the section here is essentially my higher power putting out a call for volunteers, you know. And I tell people when I talk about the amount of service I do, I say, you know, I believe in Dr. Bob's little checklist in Dr. Bob's nightmare where he talks about he does service because, one, it's a sense of duty. Two, it's a pleasure. Three, because in doing so, I'm paying the debt back to the guy who gave it to me. And four, because every day I do it, I take out a little insurance against the possible slip, you know. And finally, I just want to say that I don't believe the section means only about carrying the word of recovery to others. It talks about the man who is still sick, you know. Now, that, you know, actually means the person who's still sick. But how many people fit this description that we meet every day, you know? As a result, when somebody does something to me negatively, I can know they're sick, you know. I can know they're sick because I live a life that doesn't generate ill will being shot back at me, you know. And like that other great line it has in the other part of the big book about, we ask God to help us show the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. You know, I used to come back with anger when somebody came at me, but I don't have to do that anymore because I know better. And I know if I'm feeling something as a result of something somebody says to me, there's a part of me that believes that. You know, if I say to you, you have the ugliest green hair in the world, you just laugh. You know, but if I say, hey, did you gain a little weight, something like that, well, I'm all, you know. And so today I know it's really all about that. And nice to hear everybody. Thanks, Team Monday. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. And Sherry KB, you are up next, followed by Reggie O.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. I love that we're just unpacking sentences right now. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. Ask, I've been told, through when I was doing the work, when I was in the book as a protege, I was told that ask meant prayer. So I'm praying every morning to ask God to direct my day, and to help me to be of service to the people about me, and especially to the suffering compulsive overeater. And I appreciate all the shares that have been on the line today about, you know, like the sick man's prayer and whoever else and, you know, so forth. And what I also want to say is, you know, when it talks about, you know, kind of with ourselves, if our own house is in order, and I always think of page 75 when we did our fifth step and we return home. And I've always read that for myself as returning home to the true self that God intended me to be. So I know that my own house has to be in order. And what does that look like for me, for somebody like me, a compulsive overeater recovering and recovered? In order for me to stay recovered, I have to stay abstinent and I have to work with others in order to keep what I've got. And it can also go to the outside as well. But I'm thinking of, you know, how can I be of service to the people about me, especially to people who are still suffering? And that is working with somebody, taking them through this big book, you know, taking outreach calls, making calls to people who are, you know, in the disease. I've called people who I first met on this line and who kind of disappeared, and I call those people and tell them I'm thinking about them all the time. This one lady I remember, probably in 2016 I was talking to her, and I still call her a lot just to tell her I'm thinking of her. And then also I just want to say that, you know, on page 85 it says that every day is we must carry the vision of God's will into all our affairs. How can I best serve thee? Thy will be done. And so I'm constantly keeping in companionship with my higher power. And that also includes of me being of service to my family. And I really think about that, too, because I live with this family. And it's easy to practice these principles with people in the program and people on the line and all that. But practicing it with the people I live with is a really interesting way. And when I've prayed to ask to be of service to them, it's interesting what keeps coming up is keeping my side of the street clean. Where am I not? Where do I need to work on myself around the issues with my own family? And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And Reggie O, you are up, followed by Rebecca T.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O in the greater Los Angeles area, and I'm always amazed at, you know, what's in two short sentences. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. And, you know, that to me is like the 11th step. We thought, you know, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact. And that's how, you know, that's how I'm trained and I've learned in this program to begin my day, you know, as quickly as I can when I wake up, is to turn my thoughts to God, because, you know, that's how I start my day. Hopefully almost every day, that is how I start my day. And when I haven't in the past, I tell you, I know there's a huge difference in my day. What you can do each day for the one who is still sick, the answers will come if your own house is in order. You know, and you're really using that, which I seems is meant here, that metaphor of my own house is me, my internal being. You know, what's the state of my heart, what's the state of my mind, and I get that through working these steps and through my this relationship that I'm developing with God, and really seeking to know, you know, to know God's will for me, not Reggie's will. That's been a big piece of work for me over the years, trusting God's will, you know, and really wanting that to be first, because I always believed that I had to know better. But, you know, this, what you can do each day for the one who is still sick. I had this beautiful opportunity this past Saturday to do a training for some young women, 16 to 18, who are in the foster care system and currently in residential homes. And it was really quite something. It's a particular training, and I was with a group of people, but I was the trainer for that group. And I tell you, I saw my recovery so much. You know, it was one of the most challenging groups to work with that I've ever worked with, and it was one of the most satisfying to work with, and to just watch. And this is what I did. You know, I saw them. I did most of my work was, rather than the content of the training, it was with how to work with these, you know, young women and really give them the best I could. Yeah, and you could see some budding compulsive overeaters. One of their challenges is they try to, you know, help them not spend their money on drugs and things like that. So it was, you know, in some respects, a prime population for the addictive world. But to see, you know, two things, I guess, will stand out for me. And one, that there was a team of people with me. And I realized for the first time, you know, yeah, I'm leading this training, but boy, you know, this is a team and I can't do it without these other people. And that was really beautiful. And then it's like we really had to change the training around to meet this population. And it was like God had to speak through me, like word after word and sentence after sentence. And boy, and I was just so grateful, you know, and I come away feeling like, thanks so much. Just an amazing opportunity, and my best training has come from these steps and this last work I've been doing in Vision. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Reggio. Rebecca T, you are up next, followed by Mariana D.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. It's Rebecca T from Central California, Bakersfield, gratefully recovered. Yeah, what a beautiful phrase. I repeat this phrase almost every day, because it helps me to remember, you know, when I was not in recovery, my ego was so large that I really did feel that my house was in order, and so it was time to go ahead and you know, show everybody else how to clean their own house, because I got it and you didn't. And I am humbled enough and grateful and blessed that with this program and with working the steps and slowly chipping away at those character defects that have something to teach me, that I can continually ask, you know, when I have a thought in my mind of I'm making an opinion or judgment about someone's life or about how they're living it or how I see their pain or I don't see their pain, I just ask myself and I say, okay, well, where have I also been that way? Or, you know, am I that way now? Or do I really have, is it my place to share this opinion? And you know what someone fellows have taught me, it's a simple thing, but, you know, I said, well, if you don't know if you should, you know, offer any sort of advice, why don't you just ask? I'm like, well, yeah, that's amazing. So for today, I try, hey, you know, do you need some, would you like some advice? And then if not, I just look towards myself. I look to see how I can improve. I look to see how I can be closer to my higher power. I look to see how I am really no different, or, you know, maybe the challenges or struggles might be a little bit different, but that I am an equal member. I am an equal human being as all of us are into this beautiful world, and I'm walking the path alongside everybody. I no longer have to be beneath you or above you. We're just all one of the same. Thanks for letting me share. Take care.
Thank you, Rebecca T. And Mariana D., you are up, followed by Cindy K. Go ahead, Mariana.
Hi, Kathleen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you. So it's, you know, I mean, I don't know why I always feel like a sense of surprise when what I'm thinking of in the morning in my meditation always ends up being a part of what we discuss on the lines. So lately I've just been feeling very overwhelmed by things, tasks and such. And there's also an issue with hormones, so there's something physical going on as well. And so I feel like in my meditation, there's days where I feel so centered and I can actually feel in my heart like this connection and it's so strong. And then there's other days where I feel like my big guns are when I take out my journal, because I journal to my higher power and then I write on the other side of the page what I believe my higher power would say to me. And this morning I had to take out my journal because I was feeling not peaceful. And in hearing these shares today, it's exactly what I need to hear over and over again. And it's that pause and it's the doing service for someone else and not being judgmental, because I can go there in my mind. And although I may not gossip and share it with other people, I'm feeling it inside and I don't like how that feels. And so, but I know it starts with taking a breath and just bringing God back into it. And lately in these past few days where I've been struggling a bit in my head, I seriously, like we say in this program, what's the next right action? That's what I've been doing, just the next right thing, not the next three right things, but just the next right thing and being led. And what I found too is sometimes I can just get in my own self. And when I take a step back and take a breath, I can look at other people and what they're going through and have a little more compassion and see my part as well. So I think that's all I have today. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Mariana D. And Cindy K., we have about 2 minutes, so if you could keep your share to 2 minutes, that would be great.
Hi, I'm Cindy K. from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share. I know I'm in the middle of the steps, and I am wanting to share, and I'm excited about what I'm learning. But the question is, what do I have to really pass on? Well, I've learned that I have to answer some questions first. And my big book guide is always saying, I can't pass on what I don't have. And there's a lot of things I don't have, so I'm limited. And what do I have to pass on to people in a healthy manner? Well, my big book is telling me that my relationship with my higher power has got to be right. So that's what my job right now is to make the priority to get out of the way get myself out of the way and work on building up my relationship with my higher power. So right now, that's my goal, to get out of the way and work on my relationship with my higher power. And then out of that, I will have things to share in a healthy manner. And I thank you for that, and I will pass.
Thank you, Cindy Kay. Okay, and thank you everyone who shared this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan H. please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Susan H. in Ohio, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.